They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More car makers jump on board with ride-sharing tech companies. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Two new deals bring old-school car companies together with ride-sharing services. Toyota is partnering with Uber, while Volkswagen is backing Gett, a service popular in Europe with big ambitions to go after more American business. This follows a deal earlier this year where GM invested in Lyft. Here's Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood on what's pulling these very different companies together.
Of course, there's a lot of sexy tech on the menu, but there's also a very down-to-earth reason that traditional automakers might want to tie up with ride-sharing companies, and that's to sell a bunch of cars. Uber and Lyft and Gett, that's the app based in Europe, they all need cars, and Toyota and GM and Volkswagen have them. And of course, if the future of transportation includes fewer vehicles on the road, this is also a way for these traditional automakers to ensure ongoing demand for their product.
And the other thing to watch is what this tells us about how car companies think the future will unfold and how they'll need to change just to survive.
There are also important technology transfers here. These car makers are looking into becoming mobility companies and providing all kinds of transportation options. This way, they get access to new technologies, whether it's things like dispatching vehicles or even just operating a network of cars and their drivers. And of course, they can share research around self-driving car technologies that could enable them to become the next great self-driving taxi providers.
Marketplace's Molly Wood, and let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In the UK, shares up 0.7%. In Germany, stocks are up 1.3%. Asian markets mostly closed up. Wall Street futures pointing to a higher open at the moment. Bayer says it looks forward to holding merger talks with Monsanto after Monsanto said it would consider a higher bid. The German drug and chemical company Bayer offered $62 billion for Monsanto on Monday, but that was quickly rejected. A merger of the two companies would create a giant seed and farm chemical company with a presence across the U.S., Europe, and Asia. S&P 500 company CEOs earned a median $10.8 million a year. That is about 4.5% higher than last year. Those numbers from a new survey out this morning from the AP. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports on what the numbers tell us about pay for women running American companies.
Female executives earned a median income of nearly $18 million compared to $10.5 million for men. Sounds like progress. But it's not. Of the 324 CEOs surveyed, just 17 are women, says AP business editor Lisa Gibbs.
When you have a basket of only 17 people, you know, a couple of CEOs getting a big raise can skew that number.
While three women made more than $20 million last year, there is little overall change. For the last decade, the number of female CEOs on the S&P 500 has hovered around 15 to 20.
I feel like the rate of change really should be picking up now.
That's Heidi Hartman, the head of the Institute for Women's Policy Research.
We have a lot more experience with women on boards, a lot more women able to go into that position.
Hartman says we'll see more women at the top tomorrow if political and civic leaders start clamoring for it today. And Hartman says if all women had equal pay, the poverty rate among working women would be cut in half. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
G Change is coming to Cuba as the country develops a new relationship with the U.S., but it is not happening fast enough for many Cubans who still head for America in large numbers. They're increasingly finding doors slammed shut. Panama is the latest Central American country to close borders to Cuban immigrants bound for the U.S. The Cuban immigrants have special status upon crossing here in America, but just for now, at least, perhaps. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams recently traveled to the U.S.-Mexico border to learn about the new urgency for some Cubans making the trip.
28-year-old Darian Diaz Martinez had just crossed the border into the U.S. when I met him in McAllen, Texas. The young Cuban knows his country's economic ties with America are improving, but doubts he would have benefited.
If there is improvement or not, it's not going to be today. Many people say that their kids or grandkids will see improvement.
So he says he risked the journey, sneaking past Central American border guards, doing odd jobs, losing everything when he was robbed by a taxi driver in Mexico. Getting into the U.S. was the easy part. Cubans have special status, which lets them quickly get green cards and access public benefits. But some want to change that.
I can talk about other folks in Africa and Asia and the Middle East. You know, there's always compelling reasons, but I think everybody coming into the U.S. should come in and be treated the same.
Texas Representative Henry Cuellar and others introduced legislation to end the Cuban Adjustment Act. That's the Cold War-era law that set up the special conditions for Cubans. News of efforts like Congressman Cuellar's is spreading. Diaz Martinez said everyone was talking about it back home in Cuba.
Many Cubans say that this special status we have will end. So I thought if it's going to end, so I decided to come.
The State Department says there are no plans to end the act or to pressure countries that make it easier for migrants to get here. The agency argues Cuba still has difficult economic and human rights conditions, conditions which still inspire people like Diaz Martinez to come.
Many people sell their homes, sell their businesses. They do crazy things to live the American dream.
His dream for now is to make it to Florida and get any work he can. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The International Women's Media Foundation supported Kimberly's reporting from the Mexico-U.S. border as part of the Adelante Latin America Reporting Initiative. We are always online with more stories at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.